America's back, Donald Trump declared in his overnight address to Congress. It was a campaign-style Trumpian speech addressing familiar themes. He said the Ukraine minerals deal is back on track, said he'd received a letter from President Zelensky repeating an earlier social media post, which President Trump said he appreciated, and he suggested Russia is eager for peace. There was also tariffs, tax cuts for Americans, an end to wokeism, and on Greenland, one way or another, we're going to get it, the combative president said. Sarah Firth is a Washington-based correspondent. We'll get her take shortly on President Trump's speech. But first, let's hear some more of what he had to say. He opened in bullish mood.
Members of the United States Congress, thank you very much. And to my fellow citizens, America is back.
President Trump then went on to list some of his achievements in the first 46 days of his presidency.
Upon taking office, I imposed an immediate freeze on all federal hiring, a freeze on all new federal regulations, and a freeze on all foreign aid. I withdrew from the unfair Paris Climate Accord, which was costing us trillions of dollars that other countries were not paying. I withdrew from the corrupt World Health Organization. And I also withdrew from the anti-American UN Human Rights Council. We ended all of Biden's environmental restrictions that were making our country far less safe and totally unaffordable. And importantly, we ended the last administration's insane electric vehicle mandate, saving our auto workers and companies from economic destruction.
This is what President Trump had to say about the war in Ukraine.
Earlier today, I received an important letter from President Zelensky of Ukraine. The letter reads, "Ukraine is ready to come to the negotiating table as soon as possible to bring lasting peace closer. Nobody wants peace more than the Ukrainians," he said. "My team and I stand ready to work under President Trump's strong leadership to get a peace that lasts. We do really value how much America has done to help Ukraine maintain its sovereignty and independence. Regarding the agreement on minerals and security, Ukraine is ready to sign it at any time that is convenient for you." I appreciate that he sent this letter, just got it a little while ago.
Donald Trump also addressed the people of Greenland.
"And I also have a message tonight for the incredible people of Greenland. We strongly support your right to determine your own future. And if you choose, we welcome you into the United States of America. We need Greenland for national security and even international security, and we're working with everybody involved to try and get it. But we need it really for international world security, and I think we're going to get it. One way or the other, we're going to get it. We will keep you safe, we will make you rich, and together we will take Greenland to heights like you have never thought possible before."
Donald Trump addressing Congress overnight. Sarah Firth, Washington, D.C.-based correspondent. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And thanks indeed for staying up to talk to us this morning. I called his speech bullish, combative. Did he sustain that tone throughout?
He did. There was a mixture, actually. I mean, it was long in true Trump style. I think they're saying it's the longest address to Congress in modern history. You're right, very, very bullish, but at times quite emotive as well. And I think it's a side to Trump that often doesn't maybe get seen as much. You know, he really does connect with people on quite a personal level. And I think quite a smart move that was made during this very long speech was that he kept highlighting individuals that he had helped. He brought up the murder of a 12-year-old, Jocelyn Nagari, and he had this executive order brought out onto the stage that had dedicated a wildlife preserve in her name. And it was incredibly touching. There was a shot of the mother crying. And I think, you know, Trump, in the lead up to the election, when I was interviewing the sort of MAGA supporters, I was quite taken aback by how many of them had received personal messages from President Trump, how connected they felt to him. And so that is a real strength of his. And he played on that tonight, as well as, of course, you know, the Trumpers, showman and the bullish talk that we had as well.
And that's a side that perhaps we don't hear or see that much about. And I'll come back to some of that in relation to his domestic agenda in a moment. But I want to talk, obviously, about Ukraine and a more conciliatory tone towards President Zelensky, following on a letter he said he received. Tell us more.
Yes, well, it's day and night, depending on what mood Donald Trump's in, apparently. So President Trump saying, importantly, everyone was watching with bated breath to see, is he going to double down on the aggressive speech after that, frankly, terrible exchange that you had with President Zelensky last Friday. He said that he'd received this letter from President Zelensky, that he appreciated it, and that Ukraine had said in the letter, Zelensky had said in the letter, they're ready to do the mineral deal. I think one thing that's really important to point out is that once again, what we heard from President Trump is a lot about what concessions Ukraine are going to be making. And we haven't heard this entire time, and we didn't hear it again in this speech, any idea of what he's going to be asking Russia to, what concessions he's going to be asking Russia to make. And so with everything that's played out, I mean, yes, there will be a sigh of relief from the military community. I've been speaking to them since that spat in the White House. You know, the veterans that I've been talking to, the serving members that I've been talking to, so many of them were just disgusted. And actually, Mary, I want to read you out something. I was interviewing a veteran and he said, look, this was just ahead of the speech. If President Trump cares about what veterans think, and these are folks who fought, bled for our country, then he'll back Ukraine and he'll open the doors to our wartime allies again. Now, did he do that? No, it didn't go that far, but it was certainly not a doubling down of the aggressive speech. So maybe baby steps towards progress here.
Okay, what about tariffs then? Because as his tariffs against Mexico and Canada and China are kicking in, he was suggesting they'll make America great again, make America rich. But a little bit like what he was saying in relation to Ukraine and Russia, was there any flesh on the bones?
Well, the tariffs is very interesting because it actually ties into Ukraine. You know, I think back home, it can seem a little bit like these issues are separate and then sort of chaotic when Donald Trump's making these announcements. But, you know, what he's done with Ukraine and with Europe to some extent in distancing himself in this very aggressive stance and this deal making that he says he's doing, this is what he's doing with his neighbours as well, with Mexico, with Canada. You've now had this, again, remarkable war of words break out between President Trudeau and Trump. And so the tariffs being imposed, there are going to be reciprocal actions taken. Some of the analysts you speak to here say, look, this will all blow over. This is Trump being a deal maker. He wrote the art of the deal. But there are other people that are saying, no, this is going to hurt the pockets of the Americans. And like Trump's message tonight, he was delivering it to Congress, but he was also delivering it to the millions of Americans who were watching. And he wanted this to be a promises made, promises kept. So big on the economy, talking up the tariffs, but he hasn't actually got the figures to back that up yet. And the tariffs issue, this potential trade war that seems to be erupting with his neighbors, that can be very damaging for the country. And so it plays into this sort of isolationist stance that he's taking. And we said, you know, he says America first, but it's starting to look more and more like America alone, you know, isolating Europe, isolating Ukraine, isolating his neighbours in Canada and Mexico.
And to his millions of supporters, and we heard him name-checking achievements of his first 46 days, but talk to us some more about that domestic agenda. He's promising tax cuts. We heard praise for Elon Musk and his work in cutting federal budgets. And we heard about an end to wokeism.
Yes, I mean, listen, Elon Musk sort of unofficially heading up this Doge committee, I suppose, has had just a huge impact across the country. And I think it's really interesting. You know, you see these big moments where it cuts to Elon Musk and everyone's cheering and everyone's laughing at some of the comments made. And then you speak to federal workers across the country who at the moment don't know if they've had their jobs, if their jobs are safe, they've lost their jobs already. It's thrown so many people into absolute chaos, and that these are real families, real lives that are being affected and being devastated, actually. There's just so much chaos and confusion around these huge job cuts. And he made it clear that this agenda is going to continue. They are going to be drastically looking to reduce the federal workers and the budget. So I think that's going to be concerning to a lot of Americans. Mm-hmm. And also, when there was one point he said the age of the unelected bureaucrats in America, that's over. And then you have Elon Musk standing there completely unelected, but suddenly being given this huge amount of trust and power by President Trump. So there was a bit of hypocrisy in there.
Sarah, a quick word about how this all played to his audience of Democrats and Republicans.
Well, if you take the media polls, the Snap media poll saying 66% of the people who watched the speech are saying Trump's policies will move the United States in the right direction. You know, Trump ended that speech with his now very famous fight, fight, fight. Americans are going to get the country they deserve. Well, they're certainly right now getting the country that they voted for better or worse.
Sarah Firth, Washington, D.C.-based correspondent, thank you for talking to us on Morning Ireland.